1950s and the 1960s was a mass collective journey where countless millions of young people and college age people, you know, rejected the plasticity. They rejected the commercialism, the materialism, the superficiality, the lack of authentic, genuine spirituality in America. The kids did, or the young people, the students, and they rejected it, and they wanted to participate in a revolution that is really, I believe, what the revolution was all about, was a deep, secret, subconscious longing on the parts of millions of people. They could see with their God-given eyes the fact that there was something fatally wrong with the world we live in. And indeed, the Bible says that. God says it's a fallen world because mankind is fallen. So there was a massive quest for answers. Unfortunately, the people of that generation, many of them raised in extremely nominal Christian homes or Catholic homes or basically secular humanist homes, but they didn't admit it. And so they had no answers. We had no answers to the meaning of life. And so we were open as a generation to be seduced by the Pied Pipers, to be seduced by the satanic powers, you know. Abby Hoffman, the radical activist, who was a very strategic thinker. Secretly, he was a communist Marxist, but he manipulated naive young people like me, and he didn't come out and admit that he was a full-blown communist revolutionary until decades later. But Abby Hoffman was the master of street theater. To get media attention, he would throw burning dollar bills off the New York Stock Exchange, and they would pull all kinds of stunts through his Youth International Party, YIPPIE, Y-I-P-P-I-E. And in the Netflix documentary feature film, which has a huge number of people watching it, they replay the whole story of Abby Hoffman in the Chicago 8 and the other radical leftist activists who they were going to trial, and they were trying to say they crossed state lines to cause a conspiracy or whatever. And this is probably before the time of a lot of you, but if you watch the History or Channel or whatever, Abby Hoffman, Jerry Rubin, Tom Hayden was involved to one degree or another, and other ones, Black Panthers, the original Black Panther Party. Now, the critical thing here is that in the 50s and 60s, but taking off in the 1960s, there was they called it the movement when I was a kid, but they never told us behind the scenes exactly what the movement was. So when you're part of the quote movement, you may be assuming the movement is one thing in your head, but they have a completely different idea. I found out later they did have a completely different idea. And they were for a revolution. And then that word revolution is another ambiguous term where they have one idea and you have a completely different idea. And so you can be manipulated and exploited in a very deceptive manner. Nietzsche was an existentialist. And basically an existentialist believes all that there is to life is your existence, and what is important, like what the philosopher Nietzsche said, is that you exercise your human will upon your environment. And even though in terms of existentialism, your environment on a philosophical basis may be considered absurd or irrational. I know that's complicated, but what existentialists mean by something like that is they mean that because they've rejected God and the Bible and biblical values, etc., what inevitably happens is they find themselves living in a reality, because they've rejected all truth, they find themselves living in a reality in which it's meaningless, it's absurd, it's irrational. And they spend a lot of time talking about that in the art world, in the poetry world, in the filmmaking world. The movie Mrs. Robinson, starring Dustin Hoffman and some other heavy-hitting actors and actresses, was a movie that captured the transition, the transformation of America in the 50s and 60s from being a Christian name and, to whatever degree, accepting a Christian worldview. And this movie, released in the 60s, directed by director Mike Nichols. So in the movie, you see the breakdown, the deterioration of the American family. You see infidelity in the American family and a worship of materialism. And then you see Dustin Hoffman involved in an immoral relationship with the mother of his girlfriend. And the movie has a lot of symbolism and drama that's communicating a message. Because the movie is directed by secular humanists and people that philosophically embrace existentialism, that bias is all over the movie. I don't care what people say. And so in the movie, Dustin Hoffman is running out of the church because the girl he's in love with is marrying another guy. And he runs out of the church, and before he shuts the doors to the back of the church, there are these giant, like, golden U-shaped handles that are mounted into the giant wood of the door. And he takes, like, a giant umbrella or something and puts it between the door, divided into the left side and the right side. And so nobody can push. They're all locked in the church. Nobody. It's such a strong umbrella thing, or pole, or whatever he used, that nobody has the strength to break out of the church, and so he has locked them in the church. Okay, so, you know, this is like easy street to figure out what the filmmaker is saying. The filmmaker is obviously, and really in a heavy-handed way, he's saying, well, the problem here is that these people are not only philosophically trapped, they can't come to terms with existentialism, secular humanism, and atheism. They cannot come to terms with what secular humanists believe is normal human sexuality. And these people, they're stuck in their church. Remember, he barricades them in there. And that symbolizes the fact that the director and the stars see that the problem is the church. In that American society is undergoing a massive social transformation, which it was during the time of this movie. And the secularists in our society perceive the church as an obstacle to human progress and evolution. And so, in this twisted way, Dustin Hoffman is having an affair with his girlfriend's mother. But the overall bigger picture is the movie reflects the disintegration of the marriage unit, the loss of impact of the Christian church. The movie deals with some heavy, heavy hitting themes and questions regarding how we move from a materialistic, sexualistic, existential culture, and we rejected a Christian culture. That's what the movie represented and projected. So I grew up in like that kind of discussion on steroids. And so there was a void in my life. But before I came to terms with what I just shared with you, there was a void in my life. And the void was, yeah, I was raised an atheist, an existentialist, very creative household. I was taught how to think out of the box, read books, gain knowledge, explore all kinds of things, art, culture, science, whatever. You know, I was heavily involved in all that stuff. And yet, I go back to my youngest ages, and I, as far back as I can remember as a child, and maybe this is your experience too, as far back as I can remember as a child, I remember that feeling, this intense spiritual emptiness, experiencing this intense spiritual void. And I felt empty and confused, and what bothered me, what consumed me, is I was living life as an existentialist, which means you just live for the moment in this existence. That wasn't good enough for me. That was definitely not good enough for me. I had to know. I mean, I was born with this. I had to know what my purpose in life was, what the meaning of life is, and what I'm doing here on planet Earth. I had to have those questions answered, or any other goal would not satisfy me if I was haunted by the emptiness by which a lack of knowledge of those things would have been in my being. I needed to know why I was alive. Nobody else seemed to care. I cared passionately. Now, at that period in time, America made a massive quantum leap jump. It went from a Christian culture, a post-Christian culture, post-modernism, and many other things. So here's the thing. America was at a turning point in the 1960s in the counterculture. And in that turning point, we moved from classical to rock and roll. We moved from, you know, taking psychedelic drugs to alter our states of consciousness to find the meaning of life. I majored in altered states of consciousness at the University of Missouri. The counterculture, you know, peace, love, Woodstock, make love, not war, peace and love. The counterculture, I believe, at the depths of the being and everybody's soul, what the counterculture was a collective crying out unknowingly to God, and a desperation in trying to find heaven, because it was becoming brutally obvious to people that the reality that we lived in, matrix that we live in, was an artificial reality. That's why we called the American materialistic reality plastic, because it was artificial. It wasn't real. So we were starving for real reality. And the church did not offer it to the nation. It didn't. Church, the institutional denominational church, this is not me being mean, this is facts, this is factual history, essentially was irrelevant, and with few exceptions. How God was able to reach and minister to and pour out his Holy Spirit on were the people that still had hearts that were open, people that were seeking. And so God Almighty, in an act of grace and unmerited favor, he poured out his Spirit on all flesh like he promised to. And I remember when Time magazine and Newsweek magazine had cover stories in the Jesus movement, and I was pulled into the Jesus movement later on and became a part of the Jesus movement. And then as a minister at the Lambs Club in New York City, I was a leader in the Jesus movement, the East Coast Jesus movement. So I want to read something to you in the Bible that's so critical. The counterculture is moving. It's transforming America. But the problem is it's based on mythologies. It's based on lies. It's not confirmed by historical truth. And it's leading the global culture and the younger generation. It is leading us into the pathway of communism, Marxism, socialism, Eastern mysticism, the occult, psychedelic drugs, etc., etc. Now, anybody who knows anything about anything knows that every one of those things that I just named to you are doorways to destruction, doorways to hell, doorways to implosion. They don't provide any answers at all. And what I want to say to you now is that time has moved forward. The decades have moved. We've gone through a number of decades, and we've seen several cycles of demonstrations, radical movements financed by billionaires like MoveOn.org, Change.org, the recent demonstrations in the last couple of years with rioting in the streets, burning down of stores and shopping centers, looting of shopping centers, people being shot, cops losing it occasionally and violating the public trust, and anarchy in the streets. Now, when I watch television, and I see carefully in the crowds of all these cities that demonstrations are going on, I can see people that are not part of the younger generation, that they're the leftovers from the 1960s counterculture demonstration, and these people have intermingled themselves within the crowd of demonstrators, but they are directing the demonstrators in what is with a precision like a military operation. So this radical revolutionary movement comes in waves or phases, and it changes in the exterior, like the names of the rock and roll bands, the pop bands, the musical stars are different. Some of the revolutionary indoctrination words are different. But behind superficial changes, at the root of this thing, there's an energizing force for some kind of communist, globalist, Marxist, socialist revolution. And this is the critical part. When you read history, you know exactly what happens when these revolutionary forces are unleashed in our society. And they're going to bring about, I'm not embellishing, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not distorting. In my book, Power from On High, which you need to go to paulmaguire.us and order a copy at a financial discount, you'll get your copy before the public does, and it explains what's going on and what's coming. The same with my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. When you know history, you know exactly where this so-called globalist one-world revolutionary movement is going to go. You know, every New Year's Eve, when the New Year's ball comes down in Times Square, and you see millions of people singing and people joining in all around the world, what are they singing? They're singing from John Lennon's song, Imagine. And he talks about, imagine there's no heaven, imagine there's no God, imagine there's no nations, imagine there's no nation. Every point of his agenda is a perfect mirror copy of the Illuminati manifesto that came in the mid-1800s, and then the Communist Manifesto and the Marxist Manifesto sprang forth from the Illuminati Manifesto, and the original revolutionary environment was the French Enlightenment with philosophers like Voltaire and Rousseau, and the French Revolution with the guillotines. So what you learn from watching the progression of all these movements is that there is always, without exception, there is always a secret agenda that is designed to annihilate, kill, mass slaughter, and destroy all Christianity, Christian pastors, Christian leaders, Bibles, churches, and biblical values. In the French Revolution, Rousseau and Voltaire secretly wrote about their plans. Their plans manifested when the Illuminati financed the setting up of thousands of guillotines in the streets of Paris in front of giant pyramid-shaped symbolic structures with the all-seeing eye of Lucifer. And they would behead and they would chop off the heads of thousands and thousands of thousands. Who was the primary target for the beheadings? It wasn't political opposition. The primary target for the beheadings was Christian pastors, Christians, Bible teachers, Christians who go to church. Anyone who identified themselves as a Christian was slaughtered and beheaded. Now, that slaughtering and beheading of Christians not only happened in the French Revolution, but it happens in the Communist Revolution, the Marxist Revolution, and all the other revolutions, the humanist revolutions to come. So the unequivocal spiritual message, historical spiritual warning, is unmistakably this: if the United States of America and other Western nations continues to walk step by step into the future, incorporating the same philosophies, the same economic beliefs, the same social beliefs as they did in the French Revolution, the Communist Revolution, and the Marxist Revolution, history reveals to us a powerful lesson which will come upon us and our children with 100% mathematical certainty. And that is, in the United States and other nations, as the pressures escalate, economic pressures, societal pressures, the prospect of World War III, etc., what will happen inevitably is that Christians are already being demonized by people in Hollywood on a level never seen before. Mockery jokes. Christians are being demonized. That's exactly what Adolf Hitler did to the Jews in Nazi Germany. And they've already made an open declaration that their number one enemy is Christianity, biblical values, absolute right, absolute wrong, nationalism, things like that. So Christianity is in the crosshairs. It's the target. Make no mistake about this. Do not be deceived by smiling faces, fake love, talk about love and unity and healing and reconciliation. Do not be deceived by that rhetoric, because that rhetoric was used before many times in recent history. And underneath that rhetoric, That's just a masquerade. Underneath the rhetoric is a burning, satanic, Luciferian anger born of a Luciferian philosophy and a bloodlust to murder, kill, and destroy millions of Christians. I'm not exaggerating this. This is not the product of paranoia. Anybody listening to me right now in the Paul McGuire Report, anyone who has a minimal knowledge of history, the communist revolutions, the socialism, the Marxist revolutions, Hitler's National Socialist Revolution, the French Revolution, the French Enlightenment, and what happened, and the American Revolution, which was different because it was biblically based. Anybody who has a minimal amount of understanding of those historical facts and what inevitably happened knows that precisely what I am attempting to warn you about, out of a conviction, out of an obligation of the Holy Spirit. I had no choice. I surrendered my life to Jesus as my Lord decades ago at a Calvary Baptist church in Manhattan across from the Russian Tea Room. At that time, Johnny Cash was going there. And the pastor, a scholar with an English accent, called all those who wanted to surrender their life to Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. Not just Jesus as Savior, but Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. I prayed that prayer. That doesn't mean my life has been perfect. That doesn't mean I haven't had trials and tribulations. But Jesus has been Lord of my life for decades. And so because I endeavor by faith to live under the Lordship of Christ, I am compelled, not because of some ego, it's not an ego stroke, you know, for me, or maybe for many other people. You know, some people, that's their high. They call themselves a prophet or a watchman on the wall, you know, and that's not my high. Let me tell you something. In the society that I move in, if I walk around and call myself a watchman on the wall or a prophet, that would bring ridicule, mockery, and laughter. Believe me, it's no status symbol thing. It actually is a form of persecution. But to those of you that have the Holy Spirit living inside you by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, you know that when a believer in Christ, such as you or myself, if I am to be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ, then I must faithfully accomplish the mission that he calls me to. And so one of the primary missions he's called me to is to function as a watchman on the wall. And when I observe the enemy coming in at a distance, that I do everything I can to rouse God's people by action, by blowing the trumpet. But in this modern age, rousing the people would entail communicating to them via social media, the internet, media, video, and all kinds of technology communication. So what the Paul McGuire Report is doing, what this prophetic emergency alert is doing, that's why we call it an emergency alert, is giving you advance notice of what is going to come in America based on the historical precedent. Now, God's people are being targeted right now. And God's people are about to be attacked in ways that they have never conceived of being attacked. And it should be a sobering situation. It is not the will of God for his people to be slaughtered. God said that to the watchman on the wall. He said, if you're faithful and blow the trumpet of warning, that will wake up my people to man the battle stations. But if you fall asleep or stop paying attention and fail to notice the enemy coming in at a distance, then if my people are slaughtered, I'm going to hold the blood of my people on your hand. Okay, so the overarching principle here is it is not the will of God for the blood of his people to be spilt and for them to be slaughtered. It is God's will that the watchman is on the job doing what his assignment is. But then there's a second part to this equation, and that is the Lord comes up and speaks to the leaders of Israel inside the camp of Israel, and he speaks to the children of Israel, and he says, it is your responsibility to listen to and heed the trumpet being blown by the watchman. When you hear the watchman blow the shofar or trumpet of warning, it's your job to man the battle stations and be prepared to engage your enemy. And then God says to the leaders of Israel and to the people of Israel, if you fail to hear the watchman and do what I've told you to do, then when there is a slaughter of my people, because the enemy has been allowed to break through the gates, I am going to hold the blood of my people to your account. You see how that works? God is being very fair. The overwhelming majority of Christian pastors and churches in America are playing like they can't see what's happening. The majority are not being faithful watchmen. They're not using the right media to blow the trumpet of warning. Therefore, to all those watchmen who have chosen not to blow the trumpet of warning, God's going to hold the blood of his people to your account. So, you know, this is a very delicate, this is a very sobering statement. I don't say this statement with any holier-than-thou attitude or whatever. The only thing I can say to you is, after 40 to 50 years of studying history, science, philosophy, government, economics, theology, Bible prophecy, the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and seeking the face of God in prayer and fasting, and learning the lessons of history, all I can say to you is that I am doing what I can, and others are doing what they can to blow the trumpet of warning. That's the purpose of this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church. The entire purpose is to lead people to Christ, make disciples of all nations, ignite an authentic and biblical Third Great Awakening, and function as a watchman on the wall with integrity, blowing the trumpet of warning so that God's people can be protected by the Lord. Because if you blow the trumpet of warning properly, God's people will be equipped to defend themselves against an enemy. That's where we are in history. Make no mistake about it. So you have an opportunity. You got to look inside yourself like I do. You have to invite the Holy Spirit to search your heart with his light, like I do. And then you need to come to the Lord and consecrate yourself to the Lord. And then you need to receive fully his instructions. And then you need to obey his instructions. And this is the note of hope that I want to end this prophetic emergency alert on. The critical thing I want to share is that it's not the will of God for his people to be slaughtered. It is not too late. any theology that you're listening to, which is telling you it's too late, all God's people are going to get slaughtered, that's it. You're listening to somebody who's not rightly dividing the Word of God. God has a purpose for all of us being here on earth. God has a purpose for every Christian alive in this time zone. God has a purpose for us to win millions of people to Jesus Christ. God has a purpose for us to ignite a last day's soul harvest. God has a purpose for us to evangelize the lost. Just in America, with a remnant of believers faithfully using technology, their gifts, and their abilities, we can be proactive. It only takes a remnant to turn the tide of the spiritual battle. Because God has a plan for America. God has a destiny, a mission, and a plan for America and you. And we need to seize this time. And I need you to help me at Paul McGuire Ministries Paradise Mountain Church. I need you to join with me, because it's a remnant. Together we can do this. I need you to be an intercessory prayer warrior for me, my family, this ministry, and all those people who associate with this ministry. I need you, and I thank you for being an intercessory prayer warrior. I want to thank you for going before the Lord and asking Him what you can do, and your obedience in spreading our messages far and wide. Thank you. And then finally, I want to thank you for financing the spiritual battle. I want to thank you for going before the Lord and asking God what you can give and donate and contribute financially. And you don't have to pray it now, but I would like you to pray and ask the Lord later on. You know, the scales are hanging in the balance. This is it. This isn't like an imaginary rehearsal. This isn't a dress rehearsal. This is it. And the most incredible thing of all is that the God of love, Jesus Christ, is giving us an opportunity to be victorious and to be overcomers. We deserve Him to let go of us. But He hasn't done that. He's holding on to you now in your life. He's holding on to me, and He's holding on to all those people who are called by His name. Man, I'm telling you with everything in me, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let us join the Lord and obey Him. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And together, we can take the land that Jesus Christ has given us.